Welcome to the meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board on Tuesday. Wednesday, February 20th. I'm off to a good start. We have a quorum tonight. We also have a new member, Tori Bylis, who I'd like to welcome to our board.
Push the button.
You have to push the button.
Thank you.
And I'm calling the meeting to order, and we have a quorum, and please join me in a moment of silence. Thank you. And now the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And let's see if there are any announcements from the committee. Christian, did you have any? Steve? Sue? And okay. Thank you. And then we're on to the public comment period. But members of the audience who wish to address us may do so now. But since there are no members of the audience here, I will now close public comment. And we're going on to the approval of the minutes for January 16th. Any comments or corrections?
I recommend to approve the minutes as stated.
Second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, now on to the director's report. So we'll start. Christian, do you want to start? Do you have any questions on?
Actually, it's rather innocuous this month, although I didn't see anything in there on the street trees from Damaris. Did I miss it, or is it in there? No trees went away.
No trees went away. We did some trimming in the downtown.
Oh, okay. Very good. No, there was nothing else. It was very succinct. Thank you.
Stu?
Be careful with the birds. And don't damage any of them when you're working with the trees. But that's about all for me.
Yeah, so as of February 1st, there will be no trimming or removal of public trees per our ordinance. The birds have come back to Morro Bay, so due to nesting season, we have a hiatus on, unless there's a emergency, we do not trim or remove trees between February 1st and June 30th.
Tori, did you have anything you...
I don't have any comments. I have reviewed the report, but I have no comment.
A reviewed report?
No, I have reviewed the director's.
Oh.
I did miss one thing I wanted to bring up, and it's actually to Janine. And I was noticing around City Park you had that. So you show the existing scenario of how it is now, and then you show two alternate solutions. Are they both going in, or is it only one of the two?
It will only be one alternative. So what we're doing with the City Park Transit Hub site, it's where our transit vehicles, our trolley, the regional transit system, as well as the school bus for Del Mar, they meet at that location a number of times during the day. So we're looking at improvements to that existing site.
Oh.
And so these are three options that had come up that vary around the park. And then the fourth one which I did not include, but I didn't have a little concept for that. Staff had met, and we have kind of a variant of one of those options that we're looking at, and having the transit consultant kind of do some updates to that, do it a little rendering of it, and updating the cost estimate for that.
Oh, okay.
So only one location will be where
ultimately remain.
Okay. Correct. So if it's not the existing location and it moves to one of the other two spots, what will happen is where that existing transit shelter is, that will kind of revert back to park. And so park can then put a picnic bench, a regular bench, do something else with that area. So it would not be a transit use at that point.
I guess the only thing I noticed in looking at it was there's two of them on Harbor, one on Morro Bay Boulevard. I must admit, only because I drive home on Morro Bay Boulevard more than I use Harbor, and it seems there's more traffic on Morro Bay Boulevard than Harbor. It may make sense to try and stay on that side, although I don't know the logistics of how the buses have to turn, and because I think they have to turn and go around a few corners to get over onto Harbor. They're usually coming in from the roundabout, as I remember, and, you know, for that reason. I noticed it does, I was trying to remember, it goes to SLOCOG, doesn't it, for the actual funding of this?
This study was funded through a SLOCOG grant, the Rural Transit Fund grant. It's 100% funded with grant funds.
Oh, okay. And they're not pushing for any particular location, per se?
No, we will provide them with a copy of the study that they can review. We've sent a copy to the Regional Transit Authority to get their review and comments back, and those will all be forwarded to the consultant to address, and then internally we will meet up again staff-wise. And
but it's the city's call ultimately.
Correct.
Where it winds up.
Correct.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure, you're welcome.
So all the funds for that, whenever it's done, is all SLOCOG funds? The city doesn't have to put anything in?
Well, the study will be. Any project for improvements, we will have to seek additional transportation grant funding for. And we, on the council's next agenda next week, we'll be putting in a resolution for them to adopt, authorizing an application for the State of Good Repair. There's a discretionary pot of funding from the SB1 that will be applying for a portion of the cost for whatever improvements to this project. We'll also be putting in some of our own local transportation fund monies that we get from the state, and then we'll probably next year this time look to seek another Rural Transit Fund grant for whatever final amount of funding we would need. So the idea is that it would all be grant funded and no general fund monies would be needed.
But it will be not done this year?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And the only other thing I had real quick, and it's more to Rob, is on the wastewater new WRF facility, will RFCAC, I think they moved the meeting to around March 14th or somewhere in that time frame. Is that when we're actually going to see the 30% drawings?
Yes, the conceptual design report will be.
I'm just trying to get updated.
Presented
as Jeff said
that,
earlier.
Yeah.
That's when I find out when I need to be for that. Thank you.
Sorry, Madam Chair.
That's okay. Were you going to say something?
I was just, if nobody had any other questions, I was just going to update a couple of items for the public.
Okay.
Well, I have a list of questions here from John Irwin that I should probably go over. But I want to go back. I have a question on water and operations on page 6. There was one little thing on here that says you upgraded the water service at 219 Marina to 1-inch. Curiosity again. What does that mean? Does that mean you just changed the connection at the street to a 1-inch pipe or something?
Yeah, that's essentially, we come off the main with a 1-inch supply line to actually supply all the way to the meter, and then after the meter, it is also 1-inch, but that the homeowner is responsible for that area.
So you don't replace that and have them pay you, or from the meter to the house?
Not from the meter to the house. That's the homeowner's responsibility. We actually replace from our main line in the street to the meter. and then set a larger meter. The reason for this, it was a remodel project, and it was a substantial remodel, so it exceeded the square footage, which required fire sprinklers, so it needed a larger service line to be installed.
Oh, okay. I was just curious about.
This is a kind of a typical operation. We get one or two of these a month through either new construction or major remodels, tear-down rebuilds that require fire sprinklers. Mm-hmm. Typically, you can't. It's easier to serve with a one-inch meter in service than to break up the house into so many zones, sprinkler zones.
So you just put the new connection at the meter, and then the homeowner just takes care of it from there, but
correct.
It's already updated for them to use.
Yes. They do pay the costs of the work in the public right-of-way. So it's about $2,022 to change that service out and supply a new meter.
For what you just did, it's about $2,000?
For the work within the right-of-way. So the work from the main to the meter, including the brand-new meter.
Is there a responsibility to?
No, is there a responsibility to pay for? We actually do the work.
That's what I mean. Okay. Interesting. Okay, so the ones from John Irwin, who is still working with FEMA, and he's still in Greenville, North Carolina, but he did send some things. And he had a question on page 9 where it says, have there been any problems with the lift station call-outs? I guess that would be to Joe.
Yeah, that question is response to on my report, I had put in there that we tested lift station call-outs. That's where we go out quarterly, and we actually simulate all the alarms to make sure that they're still functioning and operational. So there has not been any problems, but that's just our quarterly maintenance check on those alarm systems.
And then on page 10, he asked, are there any negative findings in the submitted reports?
Yeah, and I think that comment comes back from on the water side. We actually say that there's no negative findings above the reports, and I didn't do that on the wastewater side. No, there was no negative findings, and so I'll make that consistent between the two water and wastewater.
Okay. Then on Kings and Fairview, page 12, what happened to the slope at Kings and Fairview? They said that there was some slope repair on page 12.
So that's a project that we have to resolve a litigation issue. So a claim was filed, and we are doing some work there to resolve that litigation issue. So in the right-of-way, the slope has there was a tree there that its roots pushed up some of the soil onto the property is downslope from the street that piled up against the fence. We'll be removing that soil, putting in probably a short stack block retaining wall, a couple sections of that, and regrading the right-of-way so we don't have any issues there. We've already removed. The tree was a pine tree that was causing some other damage, so we've already removed the tree, and we'll be finishing up this work. It's currently up to bid, so bids are due, I believe, the 28th.
That's what it says. It says the initial ones were rejected.
They were higher than we expected, so we did some redesign and rebid the job.
Okay. And then, let's see, the North Point parking lot, what's the project for, is what he's asking. But that was, I can't remember, that was to add more, to resurface it?
To add a street
light at the
end of the street because of some issues with after-hours parking there.
And then on the regarding Sonic Restaurant, are you comfortable with the project? That at 41 Main won't affect Sonic.
Yes, they've worked with our intersection design engineer, and we're getting about a 71 square foot right of way dedication there, and their site is accommodated with any of the intersection improvements that we would do with that, be it signalization or a roundabout.
Okay, so those are all of our...
Can I ask you a question real quick on that? With the Sonic restaurant, would it actually be trying to take ingress and egress off the roundabout or beyond the roundabout?
Beyond the roundabout, so it'd be on Main Street, and I believe they're proposing a driveway onto Sunset, too.
Okay. Thank you.
So it's kind of this conventional...
I just haven't seen the design.
Yeah.
I could see
we're hoping to avoid putting driveways into roundabouts.
It gets a little weird there.
Like we
on
have
the other
at Morro Bay Boulevard.
Yes, exactly.
One we didn't talk about was the pavement management plan, which I was going to bring up anyway to give an update for. We're two-thirds the way done with the work. We've done the initial microsurfacing, the M3, so the 3/8 inch microsurfacing with 3/8 inch rock. We've done the chip seal. Last phase is the M2 microsurfacing with 1/4 inch rock, kind of the streets that have chip seal, that'd be the final coat over the top. And there's some streets we're doing preservation with just micro on them. We need a couple of conditions to take place. It can't be raining, and it needs to be 55 degrees.
Yeah, it can't be this cold.
55 degrees and rising. We have a window next week that we're looking at. We just need 2 days to finish this work up. So pavement coatings is looking to come back in town next week before it starts raining again to finish that up. Once the micro is done, we need to wait at least a couple of days to get the striping redone. So we'll need another dry, warm, at least above 55 degrees. Warm for some folks, still chilly for others.
Yeah.
To finish that. And then following the striping with the bike lanes that we're putting on Atascadero Road and some of the Sharrows. We have a little bit of a signing that we have to do that companions those bike markings. So hopefully we'll be finished up mid-March. They're not exceeding their contract time due to they get credit for rain and temperature days. So they had 90 days to finish, and we add on days that have rained and days that are below 55 degrees. So unfortunately, this winter has not cooperated. Our usual tact of being the last ones and getting the benefit of the best prices of the year didn't work out quite so well for us.
And John had one last question. He says, at the last CFAC meeting he attended, he recommended that any excess funds available should be applied towards pavement management. Did that have any effect?
So those are excess funds that would be applied at mid-year and go into next year's project. So no, they have not had any effect yet because it's money that will be budgeted for a future project.
And then I just have a curious question. It seems like all of mine are just curiosity. This hotel development on the northwest corner of Atascadero Road and Highway 1, what's the height limit on that? What is the height limit? I've just 35 feet?
Since I don't do planning anymore, I don't really remember what the... It's going to be a three-story hotel for a portion of the hotel. They will be exceeding height. They're asking for an exception to exceed height. There's some story poles that I believe are still up. Half of them are? Okay. That show that we're up to show the height. The Planning Commission asked for story poles so that you could see the height.
The reason why I asked was because I heard some people talking about the four-story hotel, and I'm thinking, I didn't know things could be that tall.
I think they're proposing three stories over a portion of the footprint, not four stories. Most hotels need a specific room count for it to pencil. To do their development project. So I believe that's what they're looking for that. They have a certain square footage, land area, and they need to make the room count work. So the reason height is concerned for them, they're in the floodplain, So we have a 2-foot freeboard requirement, so it requires they build 2 feet above the 100-year water surface elevation. They've chosen to keep the height down to floodproof instead of building up. So they'll be doing floodproofing that requires human intervention, which is allowed for commercial structures. We just don't see it very often in Morro Bay. We don't have a lot of commercial property in the flood zone, though.
Floodproof that requires human intervention?
So somebody will have to install floodgates at the doorways to keep the water from coming into the hotel. So if you've ever been to downtown San Luis Obispo, all of the businesses along Higuera in the core of the downtown are below the floodplain. All of those businesses have sheets of plywood with a neoprene gasket around the edge that can be installed in the doorway, all their doorways, to prevent water from going in there. And usually there's some sort of cam lock fastener to hold them in place.
You're talking on the creek side of the Higuera businesses? Or is that on Higuera Street
itself? And Marsh Street is also in the floodplain. Until you get up, I think, beyond Morro, then it starts to rise up a little
right,
bit.
Right,
yeah,
right.
But you're in a bit of a bathtub down there.
Okay. Thank you. Any more comments?
I do have a question, just maybe for the benefit of the new guy.
Okay.
Something that, is the Highway 41, Highway 1 interchange project, the number one item here on the capital projects, Caltrans, just an update on that?
Sure. We had a meeting with Caltrans actually yesterday to the project was stalled out in environmental review and archaeology. So a couple people have left Caltrans and they've been replaced. So we're getting restarted on that. We'll likely finish the environmental document and archaeological reports sometime in the next couple months. Then there will be a public meeting regarding the project. So the project is still in preliminary engineering and environmental review, so we're carrying two alternatives forward, a roundabout and signalization. Roundabout is operates well beyond 2040. The signal blows up or doesn't provide an appropriate level of service after 2040 because of the projected increase in traffic. So
the year 2040.
2040, sorry. Based on general plan numbers with the increased square footage of commercial that we're predicting and additional traffic on either Highway 1 or Highway 41.
Thank you.
Rob, I got a question on the trolley. Do we have a backup trolley? In case one breaks down?
I think three still. Right? No backup.
They have three.
The one we have now that they're going to retire, I would assume they're going to retire it, would that be kept for a backup, or are you going to sell it?
We'll likely surplus that, and I think Janine is going to answer that question better than I can.
That's correct. It would be surplused, and depending on whether the manufacturer that we're buying the vehicle from, if we can do a trade-in and get a higher value than if we were to sell it locally, we'll look at doing that to maximize whatever we can out of it. In the event, we've never really had a backup trolley. And in the event that one of the trolleys had a mechanical issue during operation, the north and the downtown routes kind of combine, and they do both of those routes as one. And then when the third vehicle gets back online, then it reverts back to the three routes separately. That hasn't happened very often. We have a mechanic who keeps our vehicles in really good shape, so we haven't had a lot of issues where we've had that instance occurring. It may happen once a season.
I just wanted to keep our tourists happy.
Well,
I've got a question for Joe. Repair leak at fire hydrant. If somebody breaks off a fire hydrant, those things are designed to snap off, aren't they? Yeah. Who pays for that?
Yeah, they definitely are designed to snap off. And collection of funds back, I'll let Rob answer that.
It depends if we find the person responsible or not. Not all the time do they stay on the scene. Most of the time when you hit a fire hydrant, it's difficult to move. So we do recovery, cost recovery. Sometimes we involve the DA's office to help us with that cost recovery.
And you hope they have insurance.
Yes.
You made a comment on sampling for permit requirements for water, weekly water sampling. Can we look at that online? Do you keep those online?
They're not available online, but our weekly samples all are combined into the annual consumer confidence report. So that would list basically an average of everything that we have and then our maximum levels that we ever reach.
Okay. That's all I have right now. Thank you.
Okay, and I think that's it. So we'll move on to item B2, city goals and public work issues. Did you want to say anything about that, Rob, before we discuss it?
Sure. Let me just kick it off, and then I'll turn it back to the board for your discussion on this item. We brought this item to you last month, and it was requested that we staff come back with some either sample or example goals that might be appropriate for the Public Works Advisory Board to discuss and either make recommendations on or replace. So staff made an attempt at basically continuing on the theme of keeping the goals fairly general so that many objectives might come out of any one of these goals, and basically with an emphasis on maintaining our existing infrastructure and following through with reports, plans that we've already put into motion. You'll see also, we had correspondence from the our chair, which is attached to the staff report as attachment 2 on his recommendation for some goals. And then the Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee sent us a rather long list of what I wouldn't characterize these as goals per se, but
they're specific.
Yeah. Projects.
Right.
And if I were to write a goal from these, I might say enhance bicycling infrastructure within the city, and then these might fall out as objectives and tasks from those. For that goal. With that, I'll basically turn it back over to Madam Vice Chair for the board to discuss these goals. One last item. Your goals that come out of this meeting will be forwarded on to Council for their discussion at their first goal-setting workshop on March 1st. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob. So these 2018 City Council goals and objectives, when they have their next goal setting meeting, will they tell you how far they are on each of these goals? I mean, don't we have to know how complete these are before we can make more recommendations?
So goals, 2018 goals, relating to public directly to public works are goals 2 and 3. The water reclamation facility and the One Water review and implementation. So those have been topics of the One Water plan, as you know, has been adopted, and we'll be budgeting those capital projects in the oncoming years that were identified in the One Water plan. The One Water plan, to remind folks, is a holistic look at our water resources, both potable water and wastewater systems and stormwater. It reviews the systems and then culminates in a series of capital projects over the next 20 years that have been recommended to pursue. Both from a maintenance standpoint and from a system standpoint to accommodate general plan build-out. So that's where the One Water, the WERF facility, as you may know, probably know, the city has awarded a design-build contract for the facility itself to Black & Veatch Phelons, working as overland construction to construct the facility at the South Bay Boulevard site. The collection, the conveyance system improvements are close to 30% design, and that design report will be presented at the next WERF CAC to look at the details of the conveyance system. We looked at it in concept at a WERF CAC meeting a couple months ago and then forward that on to council. Council gave us direction to pursue the Quintana. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Dry air. Pursue the Quintana Road alignment and the dual pump station option. So we are pursuing some minor changes to the project to make that a reality, which involves some geotechnical work, some potholing to locate existing utilities, and some survey work to finalize that preliminary design.
Rob, I have a quick question before you leave that particular one. With the 30% design, are the members actually going to see the full-on plans to the point that they're at? And how far before the meeting would we actually be getting that information? Sometimes it's a little tough if you're trying to review.
Yeah, we'll strive for not getting them the night before the meeting.
A day or two
It's a substantial plan set.
I assume it is.
It's 17,000 feet of force main, yeah. Although, and it'll be plan view, likely no profile at this point in time.
And when do they assume they're going to get it to you to distribute? Do you follow what I mean?
Yes, I have to look back at the schedule to see when we're getting those. But
at least a week.
Yeah, we're very very close. We've looked at the draft plan set already,
okay.
So had some comments back, and we'll be getting that as soon as we can too. Likely be no profile, just plans, because of still need to finish that potholing.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
So on that, were you finished?
No, I'm done.
On goal number two, the WERF things and the One Water plan, since this is all being decided by experts, how could we add goals and objectives to that, I guess, is what I'm trying to... Those have already been dealt with, right? And it's a project that's taking lots of years to do. So
yeah, one of the council goals could be to continue to pursue, move forward on the project to ensure that its completion is before the required date in early 2023. I would suspect that will
likely... So we could just agree with that recommendation.
Or you could disagree with that.
Or disagree with that recommendation.
Well, to me, the problem I have in trying to set additional goals is I'm kind of like the bike committee. I could think up 100 specific items, but that doesn't move you forward in trying to do the goal-setting side of it. That's why one of the reasons I haven't responded really to the goals itself, because quite frankly, from goal one to goal five, you've covered pretty much everything in the city itself. And then when you get into specifics, then it makes more sense, but I don't want to be throwing stuff out there. As far as I can concern, my biggest concern's always been goal three, and it's probably just the nature of the beast and who I am that I worry about those aspects. And I could see a lot of things you could say, gee, I could, let's do this or do that or whatever the case may be. But the reality is you got it covered under goal three. Yeah. So I don't see any point in trying.
And you see that as a theme in my recommendations is, you know, updating the 2011 pavement management plan.
Yeah.
So we did that work 7 years ago.
Right.
We need to reassess the streets to see where we are and to look at, get a fresh look at which streets we should do. Updating the 2008 traffic speed study is just a legal requirement.
Right.
Maybe I shouldn't even put that in there. We have to do it whether you think it's a goal or not. We don't really have a choice.
And I do want to give you kudos because, quite frankly, the public infrastructure, mainly roads, has come a long way in the last 3 or 4 years. And I do applaud you. I really do. You wound up, this is something that was dumped in your lap, and I realize these kind of things as we go through this. And so for that reason, no, I like the track we're on and where we're going because I do see the roads. To me, those are health and safety issues. And when you come into the safety issues, you come into things that you want to make sure you're not exposing yourself as a city to lawsuits or anything else as a result of what's going on with these roads, and you've done a great job. I do want to give you credit for that. I think you guys have done a good job.
You know, other things that I talked about there was, you know, we prepared an urban forest management plan with some recommendations in that to follow through with those recommendations that council adopted and make the required code changes, continue the tree planting efforts and the tree maintenance. We have a very antiquated streets municipal code section that really doesn't. We need to improve that. It doesn't even really talk about encroachment permits or how you work in the street.
I haven't read it. So.
It's we have a twisted interpretation of the engineering standards. The code requires that the city engineer approve all work within the right of way, and the engineering standards give layout a way to do that work and a process for allowing permission. And we've chosen the encroachment permit process to grant that permission.
To enforce
we
it,
could. Yeah. Make that clearer in the code as to what the expectations are. Because it is a little bit open to interpretation.
Oh, okay.
So on a code like that, who makes that cleared? We didn't do that on the general plan, I don't think.
We didn't get that detailed. We would, as in the zoning code, staff would likely draft a code that would be presented to the various advisory bodies for their review and comment.
So then we'll go back around. So that we can't make a recommendation because that's handled with you guys. I can't make a recommendation that you change your zoning code in your or how you handle your business in your office.
Well, they have it as goal four and goal three.
I think.
Covering it.
Right,
it's just they're not specific
so they're
about
not getting
it.
Specific. Yeah. Okay.
You as a body can make any recommendation that you choose. It goes through another process, and they'll end up, any goals will be adopted by council. So we'll take anything that this body decides upon and move it forward to council.
Okay. So is anything?
But I think to be effective, I think, in my opinion, we need to focus on maintaining our infrastructure and improving where we have that ability.
Let me ask you, Rob, real quick, because Goal 4 has land use plans and zoning policies, which probably fall under the city code, but the city code in itself is a separate thing, so to speak, and you don't speak to ever updating the city code, per se.
But that was in the land use. That was in the
GCAT. Well, part of it is. Land use falls under the city code. They have... In a city code, they have 20 different things, from everything from subdivision ordinances and everything else that are going on. And the zoning, is that correct? Or in
yeah,
the city? I'm not familiar with the city, so I'm
We have a couple of sections that specifically pertain to public works.
Oh.
So we have a utility section, we
right.
have a street section, and we have a street trees section.
In the city code,
in the city's...
Yes.
In the
GCAT, voluminous municipal code. It's, you know, 4 inches thick of,
really
of legalese. you know, there's, you know, how the city is organized
right.
as a political organization.
What I'm saying is, do these goals cover the city goal, city code as a,
in its
entirety?
I think the intent of that goal four was dealing with the zoning
that.
Code,
okay.
kind of the land use codes.
Okay.
It would be addressed to the Planning Commission, although, you know, Public Works does provide review.
Right.
I'm talking specifically of, you know, kind of the, my, for lack of a better term, my standard operating procedures
right.
for Public Works.
Right.
That might be getting into a little bit, I might be getting into the where the bike committee ventured with things like that, you know, on down to continue the refinement with our asset management system. We've
mm-hmm.
talked a little bit about our CityWorks program and how we're using it to manage work orders, track our assets, maintain inventory of what we have out there, from, you know, number of stop signs to the number of street name signs. So, you know, we invested quite a lot into that program, and I think it's a laudable objective to, under the maintaining infrastructure, to continue moving that forward and using that program. And then I think we can always work on our website to make it more usable, current. I think we could find some out-of-date information rather easily if you went to our website.
Mm.
And to maintain that as being current. Now, we can do a lot, but we can't do everything.
No,
so
I
think we have to also realize that. In my opinion, the board should focus maybe on the higher level with some examples of objectives that you might want to see under those. So kind of the two that were that are directly in the public works realm are, you know, the WRF and water wastewater utilities.
Correct.
And then the public infrastructure and facility maintenance and improvement. You know, a detailed project example on facility maintenance is this building needs a new roof.
Yeah.
You know, that's, as we drill down to maintain the existing facilities, one of those objectives will be to put a new roof on this, on the vets hall, to protect everything that we put into it. From the new chairs that we're going to buy to the electronics that we're going to invest in.
And
I don't know if that helps or not.
So then you're saying that this ramp or whatever's going to happen here at the end of the street would be under, like, Goal 3, that's public infrastructure.
The
Surf Street.
The Surf Street, replacement
ramp.
Of the Surf
yeah.
Street stairs with an accessible pathway. Is a laudable objective that's going to be very expensive to build.
But then when you were asking us if we wanted had any input on it, if that would just be a specific thing like this bike thing, basically.
I guess if at all possible, to kind of stay at a higher level,
okay.
and not get down to
then
the specific project levels.
To, yeah.
You know, you could help us by giving examples of the things that you're talking about, but, you know, I think the highest level of the goal is, you know, maintain city infrastructure. You know, that's a good goal. Goal three, public infrastructure and facility maintenance improvement, which has a bunch of action items under that that are a little bit more defined, and then under each one of those action items, we'll have a task list to do. I think that's our job, staff's job, to develop that task list. I think we will hope to work with the Public Works Advisory Board and Council to help us better define those bigger goals and action items. So goal that I've seen in a bunch of city plans is, in one you've heard us talk about here, is to maintain our pavement condition index, or right, to achieve a pavement condition index of 70 on average citywide.
Well, one I could bring up quickly is striping and signage on the roads. I think that's something that could be a, you know, welcome input. And it's generalized. I'm not calling out for a crosswalk at certain intersections or something along those lines. And for the sake of the Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee is probably to create better, more friendly, you know, bike infrastructure, bikeway infrastructure, I should say. I'm trying to keep it generalized, yeah. Rob. For me, I deal in specifics, so this is kind of tough for me.
I totally agree with you. I have a hard time at those higher-level goals. Yeah. I can think of a bunch of projects.
I don't think in the abstract too well.
Well, maybe a way to do this would be to come up with maybe not the detailed stripe a green bikeway.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Try to create
bikeway like
infrastructure.
That. We can read that back to you guys and then maybe sort that in some sort of order of where these goals get classified under.
Well, that's what I was trying to generalize with the bike committee through.
So would it be something like his tier one necessary for safety considerations? You could just say enhance safety considerations for the bike, for bikers. Is that general enough?
Or enhance cycling safety?
That's, yeah. Sounds good.
It has to do with circulation, parking, and management.
Mm-hmm. So we're not picking up on the mic. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The circulation and parking management plans have to do with that too.
Yeah.
Is you know, where do the people go? Where do they park? How do we move them from the Rock to town, to their hotel or to their campsite? Those kinds of things are, if you watch the summertime, they're pretty large issues, especially when it takes 45 minutes to get back from the Rock because of traffic. And there's got to be a way to manage that better, maybe with another road or maybe with something else.
Trying to create another road is a real issue because then you have to acquire right-of-way to get from point A to point B.
You would think. If you take a look at alongside the shed that's over by the bridge, there's space there, and that would go. If you went down the side there, you could go up and tie into the bring the people back with a trolley to main town. That could be done, and get them out of the mud in the at the Rock, pave that Rock or do something with it so it's not so quicksand in the summertime. I mean, in the wintertime, like it is now. So there's some things that could be done to make the town more palatable and probably increase our income, maybe our revenue. I don't know.
Well, Well, I know Rob's concern. That's the fact of, do you want the road out in front of your house paved or do you want the rock paved? And it comes down to money, and I get it. And then you'd have the rock paved tomorrow if there was an infinite amount of money.
It's about seven acres
of
paving.
One of the biggest, that's one of the biggest problems you have is you got to make decisions as to where the money's going to be spent.
I think rock paving could be like Pismo has done. Mm-hmm. They've got the little machine out there. If you park your car at Pismo in the center there, you go over and give it $1 or $2. It puts out a little receipt for you. You put that on your windshield, and then they don't ticket you. So
you're looking to have paid parking to try and subsidize
some sort of
that's a goal, I guess.
Or as an action.
They've got a 10-minute thing out there or a 15-minute thing, and then
I'm not arguing with you, Stu. I'm just trying to explain. Yeah, and that's a valid point if that's how you feel, that if you feel paid parking will ameliorate these concerns, then that's what you bring up, and that would be a goal, it would seem to me, to create a form of revenue through parking.
To park out there.
Yeah.
Where they can have permits for the
I'm not arguing, trust me. Okay. It's just
okay, so big goals, big plans. Do you have any, Christian?
No.
That are not included? Since this is written, if you're making a big general idea, these are already general ideas. You know what I mean? So, and you don't want specific things specifically.
I think you kind of want semi-specific.
Well, I think if we get something down, we can talk about how they group together.
Okay, then Christian, did you have something to add?
You know, the biggest thing I just think is some sort of timeline. I mean, as an example, you know, Attachment 1 talks about we started this framework in 2016, we adopted this in 2017. And we're going to accomplish these action items between February 18 and early part of 19. So I would probably consider first quarter, early part of 19. And I know it's not with our group, but you take an example of Goal 4, Action B, complete the zoning code update. So myself personally, I went in front of our planning commission almost 24 months ago for that exact same thing. So still don't have a permit in hand, so 24-month period of time for a city our size to not be able to pull the trigger on some of the goals, that's fairly stagnant. So I just think these goals are great and very general, but, you know, when we talk about, like, hey, let's close on the property for the wharf project, somewhere in there, obviously, we may have signed a memorandum of understanding with the seller. But I would think somewhere in there, you know, basically the biggest step in that is just getting it, you know, related to a timeline, you know, and then obviously your goals become smaller and smaller in task items as we back into, yeah, who's in charge of it, city attorney, review the program, et cetera. I think right now all your goals, honestly, I think you guys come every month with great pictures and great task items that really all of those are funneling into one of the goals that exist and show, you know, tangible improvement on those each and every month.
So what I got from that is to develop a implementation schedule with when the city council sets their goals so that we can make sure that we're staying on schedule and keep that updated so we know when we're getting off schedule that more effort has to be placed.
Right.
In
without
area.
A timeline, it's more of a dream. It's not a goal.
Right.
Right. It's a lot of what if, you know, and I think timelines, you know, that obviously you guys, you know, convert those into execution. And so, you know, when Joe and everybody's staff is out there, then the real execution is what takes place, you know, for goal setting, you know, not dreaming.
Right. Got that. Going back to Stu, what I got from that discussion was improved parking lot maintenance, and perhaps paid parking would be a way to fund that. Steve, striping and signage, I'm thinking that means maintain and improve as necessary.
Right.
better biking, cycling infrastructure, and enhance cycling safety.
The only thing I'd add to it is prioritizing which come first. Because at the end of the day, you're on a set income. And until you create new revenue sources like Stu brought up or whatever, you still, at the end of the day, are juggling this. Because I've been in your position, Rob, and I know exactly what it's like when you're... Because you only have X amount of money that you're able to try and achieve these goals. Maybe they need to be prioritized a little more as to what's more important than the next one. And I'm sure you're going to get an argument from whoever it is that, you know, as to why. But I think at some point you kind of got to prioritize based on the funding you have.
Yeah, and I think, you know, perhaps assigning what we feel as a the goal might cost would help in the prioritizing.
That would very much so. I think that's about all I have to add.
Anything else, Stu?
No, you know, we're tourist-based in the summertime here, maybe most of the time, I'm not sure, but the Rock is an important source for tourists. And when you go down there, there's holes that are a foot deep, and I've got a little coral, and it fell in one the other day. But there's got to be a way to work it out so that we've got an area down there by the Rock where they can go watch the surfers or they can watch the otters or they can do various things. They can walk out to the point and get sprayed and so on without getting in the mud and dirt in the wintertime. Now, the summertime, we do level it off somewhat, but there's got to be a vehicle that we can use, like other cities have done, to get in there and remedy that issue.
Tori, any suggestions that you'd like?
Well, if I may just sort of endorse a couple of the goals that are here, just to sort of put on the table what I thought were the most appealing to me, in a way, personally. I don't know if that's just indulging my own, this board member's fancies or something, but I do think the things that I thought were interesting, one was the... Well, this is the first time that I was aware of this One Water review that you've spoken about, and that's a concern for me here living on the Central Coast, and I'm just wondering if when that report study available, and I'm related to that, is if there's been some kind of assessment of this city's incentives for people to cut down on water consumption or use some of their own rebates that are given for water catchment systems and other kind of and even native plant drought resistant landscaping programs and things like that. So up and down California there are communities, and I personally have friends and family members and things who are building extensive water catchment systems and solar-powered pumping for landscaping purposes and things like that. So I'm just wondering if that One Water review, as well as, which is in Goal 2, and...
It's already created, right, Rob? I mean, it was. I don't know if it ever got fully accepted yet, has it?
Yes, the council has adopted.
It did adopt.
They made some.
So it's an adopted document.
Yes, it's already
the One Water plan.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So it's underway, and
it's done.
We now we need to implement the recommendations that came out of that. So mainly, it was a mechanism that drives a capital improvement program, and then the kind of the other half of it was to identify what the city's long-term water supply future would look like. There was a water supply alternatives analysis that we went through, and in the short term we'll stay on state water and use IPR, or indirect potable reuse, from our new water reclamation facility, as our water security. But as we move forward and as costs change, we'll need to reassess what state water is costing us.
Sure.
As far as incentives go, this may be a where we can do a much better job of education. We have a pretty good incentive program here where we incentivize turf removal, rain barrels, smart irrigation controllers, washing machines, toilets. Oh, it's in the director's report. Smart irrigation toilets, star washing machines, and Damaris Hansen of our staff coordinates that program. I think we need to do a little bit better job of getting, you know, we get asked that if we have that incentive program quite a bit. So maybe we need to do a better job of marketing.
Got the One Water Plan is sitting on a committee. Is it actually online with the city of Morro Bay right now?
Yes, it is.
Actually, you could go on Tori and check it out. I'm never quite sure because I get these things as documents when I sit on these, and
We owe you a hard copy also of that, so the board has hard copies of that. So it's another one of those 4-inch.
It's a big one.
Yeah,
you'll own a lot of binders.
I downloaded the rate study from Bartles Wells.
Yes.
And I've gone through that, and because I'm an economist, and I've done some rate work for networked assets like a water system, ISP system, different kinds of systems. So I'm also interested in that area of financing the reclamation system. So that's another. So I did get that plan offline.
Thank you.
But I did not know about the water plan.
Yeah.
And that One Water Plan, the capital projects in that One Water Plan feed into the rate study because capital projects need to be funded through rates. So there's a tie between those two studies, analyses.
Well, I'm interested in that, but particularly, again, the impact and, or, let's say, actualized versus potential. If there's, I mean, you mentioned stormwater as one of the three parts of the holistic look at the One Water Plan. If there's more catchment and even fog catchers, I've been hearing about in different parts of the world where you're condensing fog into rain catchment stuff. So just that, if there's a knowledge of what the impact would be to the community of Morro Bay of these sort of alternative water systems.
I think the One Water Plan kind of confuses people because in the past, usually cities had a water, a wastewater, and a storm drain plan as part of their general plan. And they combined it all into one and call it a One Water Plan. That's physically what you're dealing with. I won't say it's new. It's just a different name for something that's been around as these cities go. Unless I'm missing something, I'd say that's a pretty fair assessment.
It's a pretty fair assessment, yeah. So it is a water master plan, a wastewater master plan, and a storm drain master plan rolled into one document, and where there was crossover, we address that.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, I'll look at that then. And there's two other things. One is this on Goal 3, public infrastructure facility maintenance action item A, just the inventory of existing programs of volunteer groups, and again, sort of like the. I'm just wondering what the impact of that is. I'm part of a volunteer group in Atascadero Nature Preservancy, Land Preservancy, and we've helped build the trails and walkways and the Three Bridges Oak Preserve Park. And I know there's a mountain bike group that are doing trails in Montaña de Oro, and there's a group here that meets Monday mornings and goes out, cleans up around freeway on-ramps and stuff like that. Just wondering if there's a I think this is a good, I guess I just am saying that this action item A in that goal number three is a good thing to pursue, and there might be impact to, I mean, hopefully there's a good working relationship between these volunteer groups and the city, and it, you can coordinate your maintenance and repair operations for various infrastructure with these groups, and they do make a difference. I mean, I guess that's what I'm hoping to find from such a goal as this.
Yes, and we've this year made improvements to that volunteer program. So we've refined our volunteer agreements. We know what the volunteers plan to do. We've provided a mini grant program for these volunteer groups. So when Morro Bay and Bloom decides they want to redo planter boxes, they came with a proposal to, it's going to cost this much to buy the plants. Can we get this mini grant to do that? So things like that. So we have refined that program. I think it's a work in progress, though. So
that sounds good.
The planter boxes, the roundabout, the bike park,
the area around the library,
and in front of the visitor center.
Yeah,
Centennial Stairway, the parking place down on the Embarcadero down.
Yeah,
by the power plant.
Morro Bay and Bloom is busy.
Yeah, well, they have a nice, colorful brochure. That's for sure. And then just two other items, the offshore wind farm in the action item E, goal number one. I guess that's not that's more of economic development, but that would certainly help in the build out of the water system, I think, part of the I'm curious that there may be a link between economic development through creating Morro Bay as a wind energy hub, and along with associated business services, specialty services that go along with servicing wind farms onshore and offshore, but particularly offshore, out of, say, Morro Bay Harbor, Diablo Canyon Power Plant, and so on and so forth, that economic development, just like tourism, is a, you know, cash cow, so to speak, for the city, and would help pay for long-term capital projects like the water reclamation. So that's one thing that I think is something to be highlighted here or emphasized. And then the Community Choice Energy Program. I'm also talking to people in Atascadero City and even Monterey County and some of the developments there where communities are in some way or another. And I heard a great talk by the city manager from City of Lancaster out in the Mojave Desert, where they did a community aggregated power. The city took over the power system basically from PG&E, buying wholesale, and then they could set all the, they could revamp the city's lighting to LED, you know, energy efficient lights, and set rates for residential as well as commercial rates, as well as the rates to consume power, as well as for anybody who has solar power and is generating electricity, sell it back into the grid. So the city had the whole system, and according to this city manager who spoke from Lancaster, it was quite a good deal. And then they encouraged businesses that were creating electric buses and electric cars to locate in Lancaster, and it's kind of a self.
I was going to say, Rob, a little closer to home, Lompoc actually does their own electrical service too. So, Yeah. It's one closer on the Central Coast.
Well, and it might be, there might be some synergy between different cities to get together on a community aggregated system. So another.
I didn't know Lancaster did, but I do.
Didn't Morro Bay join and San Luis, the city of San Luis, join with Monterey?
Yes, we've joined with Monterey Power.
Oh, that's right.
We were looking to form something a little bit more local, but due to changes by the PUC, it wasn't going to be economically viable to because of the timing that it took to form that and some of the regulation.
Well, and now with PG&E declaring bankruptcy, the cat's out of the bag. Who knows what's going to happen?
Right.
I guess too. But so, but anyway, it seems like it seems like a worthy. There seems to be opportunity. It's kind of the economic development realm for the city of Morro
Bay.
Yes.
When we've had folks talk to us about these community choice aggregation programs for energy, there's a kind of a continuum of what you can do with that kind of that excess money. Since the city really doesn't need to make a profit off of it, you can take that and subsidize energy costs at kind of one end of it, use it for infrastructure, or to go completely into developing green power resources, kind of that continuum.
Well, that's good.
I think, you know, as we move forward in working with Monterey Power, we'll have some opportunities there and some decisions to be made with, you know, what our increment of that is going to be used for.
Great. Yeah, I think just one last thing is just liaisoning with other groups, either on this issue, but also with even the water issue, and to sort of develop best practices around some of these areas that are pretty complicated, is a good thing.
Right. I mean, and Monterey's been doing it for a few years now, so we can hopefully tap into their knowledge base and take the best of what they've learned.
Great. Sounds good.
Did you get what you need?
So what I have, I'm just going to read down the list and which will allow me to think about how maybe to group these. So we have some maintain signage and striping, better bike infrastructure, enhance cycling safety, enhance circulation for rock access, pave the rock parking lot, revenue generation for this infrastructure maintenance could be perhaps through paid parking or through the leveraging kind of the community choice aggregation, working with, as we develop this offshore wind farm for economic development to enhance infrastructure maintenance, look at innovative alternative water systems. For example, I think Stu brought this up a couple of years ago, the fog catcher idea. Prioritize these goals and develop a schedule for implementation. Kind of the themes I see are infrastructure maintenance, safety, water supply, and coming up with a mechanism to fund this.
Yeah. And improved, what was it Christian said, to get through, once you apply, to make it easier to get through the system, to get through the steps?
Yes.
Is that what you had that?
Hopefully in Public Works we're pretty easy on our permitting system. We have very few permitting process. Getting through the planning and building permit stages can sometimes be a challenge. I don't think it matters what city you're in. I've experienced that challenge.
The nature of the beast.
We don't have to make it as difficult as possible.
That's not the goal, huh?
That's not the goal at all.
That's not the goal.
That is not the goal at all.
Oh, boy, we made that hard. Okay, so then we're moving on to C, future agenda items.
So if I could recap yet again, what I think I would do is group these into the list that we have here into infrastructure maintenance, safety, funding. I think schedule goes right along with funding because the longer something takes, the more it's going to cost.
Okay.
So maintaining that schedule keeps things on task, on budget.
Do you feel it requires a vote, or do you see it as just a recommendation per se?
I'm trying to think how you would wrap your hands around a motion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But you just asked for suggestions, right?
Yeah, I thought it was more of a recommendation.
And then
I'm
going to read through the list again, and perhaps we could, you know, if there's anything else that we want to add to it, take as much time as you need to do that. Striping and signage. And I'm assuming that would be maintain striping and signage.
Exact. Or if it's needed and it's not there, you know. Maintaining means that
maintain and
you're
improve.
Replacing and the other for me, you know. I just see it's something where it's a great liability to the city, and maybe it hasn't been in the past, but.
So I'm saying maintain and improve signage and striping.
Yeah, exactly.
Better bike infrastructure, enhance cycling safety, enhance circulation, rock access, pave the rock parking lot. Funding measures could be paid parking, develop a schedule for these goals and how we're going to implement them. Water incentives. I think we have those, but I think we need to do a better job of advertising those. Continue to develop our volunteer program. The you know development of the offshore energy and community choice aggregation, I think, are tangentially involved in Public Works. I think they're bigger citywide goals that we'll work towards, but I think they show a Public Works benefit. Mm-hmm. That's what I have, and the way I would characterize it to council. Let me ask you this question. As far as existing city goals and, for example, the water program, our One Water implementation, mm-hmm. Does the board feel we should continue moving forward on implementing what we've started on the project and as a general goal on public infrastructure maintenance improvement, continuing to generally, I mean, this is, I don't know that we need to make this, when you think about it, make it a city goal. This is one of our core responsibilities to maintain public infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have significant infrastructure here, and perhaps it deserves a goal of its own because there's really, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in that are in the city that we are tasked with maintaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a laudable goal.
So if we make it a goal, then it's more likely to get the funding? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think there's really any guarantees on funding because really that kind of the pots of funding are mm-hmm. The general fund, paid for by property tax, sales tax, TOT for the most part. There may be some others. The enterprise funds, which are kind of developed on the cost of doing business. So we supply water to our water customers, and we do what it costs to provide that service, and we expect to be compensated. You know, you pay your bill, it provides that service. The same thing with trolley, although there's the grant aspect of transit that as of right now in the, I'll be bold enough to say, the U.S., I don't know that there's any transit system that could fund itself on fare revenue. Maybe a Uber can.
So then what are you asking us for?
I'm asking, do you have consensus over what I've just kind of related back to you? And if I were to present it this way to City Council, would this be something that the board would take issue with?
For me personally, you accurately represent what was asked from each of us.
And me too. So
yeah, I'm good with the list. You get a great synthesis of it all.
So is that okay if we just give a verbal agreement?
The head nod.
So yeah, head nod. Yeah,
so. A smile.
Okay.
You're on the right track.
Okay, so. Thank you. I think that fulfills our need for this evening for this item.
Okay, so now we can go to see future items, agenda items. Update on Highway 41. Is there going to be more than what you gave us tonight?
Yes, there will be more on that, more details. We are required to do a public meeting once we get the Caltrans back up to speed on it. We'll report out on we convened a, I think I reported a few months ago, of course it's going to be an acronym, an ICETAP. Which is an intersection control evaluation technical advisory panel, which we looked at the design of the roundabout to kind of value engineering at its preliminary stages. So some of the things that FHWA, the Federal Highways Administration roundabout expert, talked about was don't overbuild your facility. Don't build it for the 30 seconds of a day that you may have a queuing delay there. Build it for more, you know, hour-to-hour operating conditions. So so things like that. I think we've come up with a few ideas to reduce some wall heights. Nothing substantial that really reduces the cost. And as you might remember, that's about a $7 million roundabout there. So quite an expensive project, which will be 50% grant funded, and 50% will need to come from the community in some manner.
I got to ask a quick question on this. I think it came to us about 4 or 5 years ago originally, sitting on the board. Do you see this occurring probably within the next 5 years?
If it happens, it'll happen within the next 5 years.
Okay.
The money that has been allocated to the project won't stick around forever.
Long enough.
Because there will be projects that need to move ahead.
Right.
That need to be funded
also. So if it doesn't happen, you won't have the funding there. Ergo, it probably dies.
Yes. Okay. So I think, you know, some of the big decision points are, will we do interim improvements that we'll need to tear out at a later date? For example, signalization until that blows up and we need to do some other improvements there.
The other thing I was going to ask, based on traffic counts, is that busier than the Morro Bay off the freeway roundabout? I assume it is at certain times of the day.
Yeah, because it is two state routes, 41-1, and then the major city arterial Main Street comes through there.
So I assumed it was. So the roundabout's probably going to be more substantial than the one you see at Morro Bay. And
I don't think it'll be won't be substantially bigger. Both of them will accommodate.
Because you do have two lanes pretty much going around the one now.
We'll need to accommodate STAA, a interstate truck, basically, through the roundabout. So,
well, I wasn't talking so much the geometry. I was talking more the throughput. If it had more lanes, were you looking at?
No, it's really a one-lane roundabout like the existing roundabout with two incoming lanes. One would be a drop lane for a right turn. The other would be a through lane.
When I stand at that intersection and look at that, I imagine it more as an oval about.
It is kind of an egg about.
It is.
Yeah.
It's an egg about.
Okay.
It's a complex, I mean, as everybody knows, it's a very complex intersection with those off-ramps and on-ramps, as well as a four-way stop, as well as Morro Bay High School.
Right.
Because I live right next to there, and I go down to the pool at noon, and with pedestrian traffic, pedestrian traffic and car traffic at rush hour, it's it really is.
An odd way, I always likened it to 46 at the 101 down there in Paso Robles, and there's just so many roads coming in. You have the off ramps and everything else, and so it's a cluster. It just doesn't always operate as well. I would think a roundabout would really help the situation,
I'd like
honestly.
A lot.
In my mind, I could be wrong, but I think it would be a positive thing.
Excuse me. So the update on Highway 41 and the water supply and allocation?
Yes, so that's an annual event that we do to allocate our water supply. It's become a little bit formulaic. We've got it down now, so after, I don't know, 50 or so years of doing this, we finally have a system of allocating water supply that somewhat makes sense. Damaris Hansen has made some good improvements with this analysis and actually putting the report together in a way that is more understandable, I think, than we've done in the past.
This is a DWR report, correct? Is this with the county?
This is for internal.
Oh, it's internal. Okay.
To allocate building permits.
I know what you're talking about. Good.
And does anybody have anything else they want to see on our agenda? Going once. Going twice. So the next, that's all?
That's it.
So the next meeting will be Wednesday, March 20th, right here at 5:30.
And I will, I will be gone. I made Dana aware. So.
We'll be having a party next month.
Thank you. I will be in the Panama Canal.
And with that, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Yep, see you in April. taking a cruise.
That's it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
In a boat or in a ship.
Yeah. I think that's a better way to characterize it. Yeah.
It goes where?
No.
Oh.
All right. Stuart?
Oh, I got you.
Development? Yeah. Which, if you look at the model, that's where it tells you to do it, where the high traffic counts are. Except if you do just that, we filled this room by doing things like that when we weren't doing any work.
Actually, we do go to Costa Rica as part of the cruise. One of the places called Punta Arena, and this is on the Pacific side, and that's where the cruise comes. Just watch out for the rocks.
I think when I shut it down, it's got a year.